Okay, this is going to be lesson 9, and going on to perfection. And we closed lesson 8 as we were studying the infilling of the Holy Spirit and about tongues. And I don't want to have to recap that, just go back and review the lessons. But today we're going on. We had mentioned after we had closed on infilling of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues when this happens. And then we mentioned that the Bible says there are 4 types of tongues. I want to tell you that before I go any further into this teaching on the 4 types of tongues, and you've heard me say before, I'm not someone that's hung up on tongues. I'm someone that's hung up on living a life that's righteous with character before the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is a portion of the Bible. It's a portion of the miraculous new birth. And when you teach on tongues, you're going to hear different people teach it in different ways. I'm teaching it as biblically as I know how, and also through 30 years of experience of being involved in spiritual giftings and by observation as well as by study of the Word of God. But there are certain portions when we get into the book of Corinthians, whenever we get into the portion on as Paul is dealing with tongues, as he's writing to the church at Corinth, that really takes some special discernment, special understanding. So we get a couple of different opinions as the scholars will discuss that. And I'm going to share with you my view on that, and then you can study your view. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what we have is, we have that Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And of course, Corinth is in Greece. I've been there, and beautiful, beautiful place. My wife and I ate on the Corinthian Sea there, just a gorgeous place. And what we see is they had written to Paul, and they were asking him certain questions. So he is responding back to answer the questions that they had concerning what was going on in the church. They were the church seemed to get somewhat out of order and seemed to get over spiritual and overzealous in spiritual giftings. So he writes back and he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols even as you were led." So here we have these Greeks, Romans in Greece that they don't have the background of the Tanakh at that time, or what you would call the Old Testament, and they don't have all the oracles by God that were handed down to the Hebrew nation. And so he goes on and he says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." And so what we're going to look at is, since we got into teaching on speaking in tongues or glossolalia, we're going to look at the spiritual gifts. I'm not teaching on spiritual gifts here. We're strictly going to stay on the subject of tongues, but I will cover them real quickly. So we have their spiritual gifts. Now I want you to notice that he's writing to the church. The church has been born again. We found out in Acts, the book of Acts, how you're born again. You cannot read a book out of order and make it fit your doctrine. The Gospels are the life of Jesus Christ, the good news that the Mashiach or the Messiah came. The book of Acts is when we went from Judaism to what we now call the Christian church, but actually it was just a beginning of the new covenant, and the sign of the covenant was the infilling of the Holy Ghost, where he would now start writing his laws in our mind and our heart. And the purpose of that was because everything has to be done out of 2 witnesses. And just like whenever he wrote the 10 Commandments on top of Mount Sinai to them, 1,500 years prior to this, the time of Christ, why would he write it on 2 tablets? It's the 2 witnesses. So whenever we study the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the new covenant, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them in that day. I will write my laws in their mind and in their heart." It's the 2 tablets. And so we now see that he is writing to people that have been born again. You cannot bypass the infilling of the Holy Spirit and get into operating in gifts of the Spirit. I'm not saying God never does that, but that's not the way that it's laid out in the Word of God. So he says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord." In other words, there are differences of gifts, and there are differences of the way they are administered, but it's the same Spirit of God. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. Word of wisdom, just simply where You may be in counseling. You may be in a church board meeting. You may be in a life situation that you're needing something, and in prayer, a minion is 10 people. But let's say now where two or three agree is touching, then what we see is that one of them, under divine inspiration, will speak a word, and suddenly you know, hey, this is what we're supposed to do. It's just a word of guidance. Another, a word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is usually when we are speaking where we have no way of knowing. In other words, you're able to say something. You don't know any. I've spoken to people like this before, and they assume, oh, they know my life. No, no one does that. God just gives you a sentence to say, because it's God that's doing this. He doesn't unfold your life to people. So they may speak one sentence, and they're no great person of God. It's just the Lord speaking through them to you. So don't try to get super spiritual. It does not work like that. If you're a spiritual person, you're just simply a vessel of God that God downloads at times a thought through or a message through. It doesn't make you a prophetess or a prophet or someone that knows all things and sees all things. You're just the dumb mule that at that time he used to speak. Is everybody with me? Now, you have to be spiritual to be used. You have to be cleansed to be used. You have to be in faith to be used. And we all love to be used. All right. And so then we see another, the gift of healing. Another, the faith. So you see here we're dealing in spiritual giftings. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So just like tongues are listed, and this is very important, because if you have never operated in spiritual gifts, or you've never operated in tongues, please don't read books written by people that have never been baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoken other tongues, because they don't have any idea how this works. They only have the written word, head knowledge. But when you put the Spirit with the knowledge, what I'm trying to say is this. So just like faith, in other words, one of the gifts of the Spirit's faith. Well, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if we were talking about common faith, then that just means that very few people can please God. But this is written to the church that already has spiritual communion with the Lord and has an understanding. The gift of faith is a supernatural moment where it may take more. You believe in God. You have faith in the Scripture. You have faith in the blood of Yeshua. You believe in these things. But the supernatural gifting of faith is whenever it is for a supernatural event that it goes beyond what you are capable of. So God gives a bonus load of faith that you can operate in what it is He wants you to operate in. Amen. And I'm not on gifts, so I'm making these real quick. Okay. But I needed to bring that out, because when we get into tongues, many people think when they spoke in tongues, they got the gift of tongues. No, you didn't. You got baptized in the Holy Ghost. So I hear charismatic people come say, well, I got my gift of tongues the other night. No, you didn't. You got baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's not a gift. That's the first type of tongue. There's four tongues taught in the Bible. Four different reasons for tongues. The first one is the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. How many spirits are there of God? Is it the same Spirit of God that's the Spirit of Christ? See, first we've got to get the confusion out to understand. There's just one Spirit. The Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ and God. There's just one Spirit. It has different administrations, different operations, but it's the one self-same Spirit. And when we understand that first, and we won't be talking to God or the Holy Spirit or this one, it's just the Spirit of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And so here's what we understand then. So this is supernatural faith. Then let's go on. He says, to another, the gifts of healing. You don't know any healers. God is the only healer. And the quickest way to lose a gift, that, in my opinion, and I'm giving my opinions on this lesson, in my opinion, through observation, personal experience, personally being used, and study of the Word, as soon as someone decides they're a healer, you can bet they're not. Because it's a gifts. What's that mean? That means there are times God operates through you to do healings. It does not mean you can't heal anyone. So usually when people put their sign up, so-and-so's healing crusade, we've got a problem because God left the building.
That's right.
The other thing I want to teach is this, and I'm saying this with a smile, is if people would come to church expecting, like they go to crusades expecting, your churches would see the same thing in services as you see at crusades. Amen. It's how you come expecting is how you receive. God's the same everywhere. So you see, I take a pretty down-to-earth approach because I've been through all the spiritual misery with people that get so spiritual that they get goofy. And I'm a big proponent of if it's not in the Word, I don't want anything to do with it. All right, let's go on. So here's what we see. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. Now, prophecy is not foretelling the future. You may be used to do that, but prophecy is speaking forth directly under the unction of God. It's speaking under inspiration, and only spiritual people can receive that. The non-believer won't. We'll see that as we move on into tongues. So hold on to that statement. And then, to another, discerning of spirits, to understand what we may be dealing with or what the situation is. To another, diverse kind of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. So we are dealing here not with the gift, not with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. These people have already been filled. They're operating in the gifts. We're now dealing with the second type of, or one of the four types of tongues, and that is the tongue for a message to the church. But also, this person speaking in this tongue, it is required that another gift be given, which is the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as God will. For as the body is one and has many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, where we are in the American church is we're 2,000 years past what God has done. The Bible teaches in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the one message in the very beginning, as you've learned in these lessons, is Jesus Christ came to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And we see here, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And you can be in church all your life and not be taught what I'm teaching you. For by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. Christ came to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. He didn't come to give you a head knowledge of His Word only. And this is the big misconception in Christianity, and I'm going out on a limb. If I would have had to train myself to be a Christian, I wouldn't be here now. But many people believe that Christianity is where you learn to slow down on your cussing, slow down on your drinking, slow down on your smoking, and eventually become a good person. When you get filled in the Holy Ghost and that miraculous event takes place, that means you've truly repented, and that's God's sign that He has accepted that walk. And it is a supernatural power that all things become new. I didn't have any temptation to get back in my... I became a new creation because it was the miracle new birth, the same thing that happened 2,000 years ago. Amen. So people that are struggling are people that need to be born again. And don't be offended by me telling you this. Be excited that God has more. Even if you've been a Christian for years, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because if all you've ever known is the man's way of religion, where you are slowly learning how to be a better person, and, oh, I'm sorry I did this, or I'm sorry I did that, then God has more. Okay, four purposes of biblical tongues. Number one is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Number two is personal spiritual edification. Number three is a message for the edification of the church. And number four is to communicate to one who does not speak your language. Number one, infilling of the Holy Ghost. Number two, for praying in another tongue, spiritual edification. Number three, to give a message to the church, to edify the church. And number four, the miracle of speaking in a language that someone understands and you don't know, to communicate with them. Now, let's look at biblical example of these real quickly. Number one, we have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see where on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, the first place in your Bible where the New Testament outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, Holy Ghost is done. He tells them to go and tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. They have to wait for the appointment of the Lord, the day of Shavuot, Pentecost. And suddenly there comes a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind filled all the house where they were sitting. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so we see the fulfillment of Isaiah 28. We see the fulfillment of Joel. Now the spirit that man lost whenever Adam fell has now been restored. We see where God, who at Babel, everyone spoke an unknown language. They all spoke the same language. At Babel, he turned around, he confounded the tongue. He separated men into different nations because they had come together to make themselves a name, the Bible tells us. So they're separated by the tongue. On the day of Pentecost, they're all in one mind and one accord to do what? To lift up the name of Jesus. So he uses the tongue now to bring men from every nation back to a common cause. This is a sign of the circumcision of the heart. We see where Peter tells us that even though the tongue is the smallest piece of the body, it's like the rudder on a great and mighty ship. It controls. And so we see all these things about the tongue, letting us possibly understand God's purpose, just like circumcision was such a foolish thing. That would be absolutely crazy today if I said, men, step out here, I want to show you something. God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. He has used the tongue that no man can tame. And it shows now that that thing that we are unable to tame, that we have totally yielded to God, so God takes over and God speaks through us, and it is a miraculous thing. I remember when I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I had to really seek it hard because I was such a deceiver and liar and all the things I was. And by the way, I was a very prosperous businessman. In America, I was called a success. What we see is that thing that he uses to speak through us, as soon as I could speak English again, I said, it's real, thank God it's real. But see, I got hung up on seeking tongues and not God. Just seek God. It's a miracle gift. If you could speak in tongues, there wouldn't be anything miraculous about it. If I could teach you to speak in tongues, there wouldn't be anything miraculous about it. It is a miracle. All right. But I'm wanting you to notice this. One of the things that we see in the continuation of where they're first filled with other tongues in verses 7 through 8, there are men of every nation, and they are hearing this sound of these people being filled with the Holy Ghost. And they say, are these men drunk? And Peter stands up, the one that a while ago had denied the Lord. He didn't have the courage. Remember what Yeshua Jesus told him? He said, Peter, after you're converted, feed my sheep. Now Peter has the power of the Holy Ghost, so he's not afraid of what man will do to him. And so he stands up and he begins to preach. But what I want you to see is these men that said, are these men drunk as you suppose? They said, are not all these Galileans? Then it's going to list how each one of these men from a different nation, let's read it, verses 7 and 8 of Acts 2. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? In other words, then it lists all the language. So I'm wanting you to understand that many doubters in tongues, or many people that have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit spoken in tongues, or attend churches that don't teach it or believe in it, are taught that people that are speaking in tongues are crazy and it's not real because they're not speaking languages that are known. Well, two things I want to point out. Number one, the miracle of tongues when we speak and communicate with someone that does not understand the language, this is biblically sound doctrine. It will go against what you may read, your favorite pillow prophets books you read. But you're going to see where when I speak in an unknown tongue, I may not be speaking French at all, but this one may be hearing French. I may not be speaking Hebrew at all, but this one may be hearing Hebrew. I may not be speaking Yiddish, but they may hear Yiddish. And that's exactly what you're seeing. They're speaking in other tongues, but they're Galileans. And yet when you list how many languages they hear them in, it says right here, but every man heard them in their own tongue. Now that's Bible. And the other thing, without me trying to sound too high and lifted up, because I've lived there, I have been around 30 years and I have experienced every one of these spiritual gifts, and it doesn't make me anything. It makes me someone that has to keep my body under subjection. It seems to be a full-time job. At least I myself become a castaway. But what we see is, this is how it works. I've been with people when they're in other countries, when they have been used of God and they're giving a message in tongues, and someone is convicted in their heart, and they're not anymore speaking the language of that nation than the man in the moon, but the person that's hearing them swears they're speaking in their language. God does as much a miracle with the hearing of the tongue as he does with the speaking of the tongue. That is a gift from God, and only God operates these gifts. And as a speaker and as a pastor through 30 years, I've learned many times that I will have people come up to me after a service, and this is just may not help, but and they will say, that message was right to me. You said this, you said this, you said this, And I'm smiling. They said, you said it was purple and red and green. And that's exactly, I'm just using that as an example. And then they'll walk away and this person come up and say, that message was right to me. You said black, you said blue, you said red. Truth is, I said white, gray, and yellow. But yet God, they swear that I'm reading their mail. Or the speaker is reading their mail because God is doing a miracle in the here. We need to understand God loves. He doesn't love like man loves. All of our love is conditional. We judge a speaker by the way they comb their hair, or their personality. We're carnal. God is not. He's in the soul-saving business. And He will do what the greatest evangelist is, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God. And if we'll just desire spiritual gifts, He will operate through us and we won't be weird, we won't act strange, we won't dress like we're something, and God will get the job done. So there is your two types of tongues. When they were filled with the Holy Ghost, God did the other portion of that where people heard them in their own tongue. Let's go on down. Okay, the next thing we see is self-edification. And this is, you can't understand these things until you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. All right, so what we see is Jude tells us, he says, beloved, building up your most holy faith, how? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, when I pray in the Holy Ghost, I pray in other tongues. The Spirit of God is making intercession through me. And what am I doing? I'm edifying myself. This is a gift to help build me up. It has nothing to do with anyone in our surrounding area. It's strictly for me or whomever is doing that praying in an unknown tongue. They don't know what they're praying. Now that's weird, isn't it? They don't know what they're saying. But it's the Spirit of God in them. See, we become a citizen of two countries when we're born again. We are a citizen of the planet Earth, but yet the kingdom has come into our heart. And we are like Esau and Jacob wrestling in the womb. That was the story of the Old Testament. We are like Esau and Jacob wrestling in the womb of the mother. We're two different natures. And what we've got to decide is which nature is going to win today. Are we going to walk in flesh or are we going to walk in spirit? Well, I can tell you who wins. Whichever one you feed. So building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm just giving the scripture for each so we can get through the rest of this. Now then, we're going to take a very lengthy portion of time for the remaining of this lesson to cover the spiritual gifting of tongues and tongues used as a message to the church. So we've got now the four types of tongues that we've covered. We're putting this as the final of the four. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, and whether one member suffer or all the members suffer, he says, with it, or one member be honored or all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And one of the things that we need to understand is he's going to explain to us the body. And I am right now being used as the mouth. But can I tell you, the mouth without the brain can't do much. Now, he's the head. He's the brain. But even the brain and the mouth can't do much without the liver. And he can't do much without the heart. And so many times as a church member, having sat where you've sat for a lot of years, we feel like, well, golly, we're not important. That's the biggest lie the enemy can tell you. Because you are the internal organs of this thing. If you weren't doing your job, this can't happen up here. And he's going to go on to tell us, he says, the parts that are less comely are the more important parts. And I don't know about you, I've never seen a pretty liver. Okay? But it's a hidden part that's doing its function. So I'm telling you that because I can sit here and point at all of you in this room and say, you have no idea how your prayer helped, your offering helped, your presence helped, your this helped, your witness, your that. We've got to realize we're all one body. And I'll tell you right now, I found out about pain. Have you ever had a bad pain in the back? There's nothing like it, is there? Until you have a pain in the tooth. Nothing like it, is there? Oh, until you crush a big toe. Nothing like it. It doesn't matter what part of this body hurts. We're all one. And so he's saying pain is pain. Suffering, suffering. Jeff and Dolores recently lost a loved one all week long since it's happened. My wife and I wonder how they're doing. We're suffering with them. Mike Cook's brother-in-law fell 25 feet last night. They were cutting trees, and they're what, in their 60s? Up on a ladder at that age? Man, they're in good shape, but nobody's in good enough shape to fall 25 feet. I mean, I can just go as a pastor. We're suffering all the time. And as saints, you say, well, gosh, the pastor hurt me. Well, I've been hurt 500 times every time I've hurt you once. You better be tough to hold this office. You better forget about trying to please people. All right. So, whether one member suffer, all members suffer. Now, you're the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has said, now, I want you to catch this. Anything that operates and functions correctly has to have order. Our government, anything. And so, he's going to simply tell the Corinthians, now look, here's the order that God has set in church. He says, number one, he says, God has set in the church first apostles. Now, what's an apostle? Well, I'm going to answer that real quickly. An apostle is just simply someone that sets in order. An apostle, I started a church on a piece of ground here. What I do? I set in order. I have people call me the apostle. I never use a title. I don't want to limit God. Why? Because I can set in order. I can speak with authority. I can understand that is not and make it come together. Am I a manager? No, don't want to be. I'm a groundbreaker. Let someone else manage. I came to put it in order. Okay? Now, he goes on and he says, then we have prophets. What's a prophet? A prophet is someone that speaks forth by divine inspiration, and at times they may be used to prophesy a future dealing. Then he put teachers. Miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. He put that in the church. This is not in filling. We're covering spiritual gifts. Many churches say, well, I don't have the gift of tongues. Well, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I know you don't have the gift of tongues if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The gift of tongues is one of the spiritual gifts given by one Spirit that we were all baptized into one body. Now we're dealing with what happens inside the body of Christ as we are baptized into it. So then he goes on and says, then gifts of healing, help, governments, diversity of tongues. And then now he's asking the church at Corinth that have been water baptized, spirit baptized, are following the Lord. Then he turns around, and this is where when you take Scripture out of context, you can make it say anything you want. Then he turns around and says, are all apostles? What's the answer? No. Are all prophets? What's the answer? No. Are all teachers? What's the answer? No. Are all workers of miracles? What's the answer? No. Do all have the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Not in filling of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the gifting of tongues given to the church. Do all give a message of tongues to the church? No. We're on a whole different part of the tongue now. Do all interpret? Proving my point. This is a tongue of a message that without an interpreter, there's no need to use the message of tongues in the church. It has nothing to do with the speaking of the infilling of the Holy Spirit or of the praying for self-edification. He is talking here about the gift of the message, a tongue for a message where it needs an interpreter. So then he's going to go on. Now let's watch what he does. He says, but let's earnest the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and I'm going to show a more excellent way. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now this is not, hey, tomorrow at 7 this is going to happen. Let me explain to you what he's talking about here. Prophecy is 99% of the time speaking under inspiration. Less than 1% of the time foretelling a futuristic event. And prophecy is not for the unbeliever. Tongues are for the unbeliever. Let's go on. So here's what we see. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Now he's talking to the church about how they are to behave in church. But he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. It has nothing to do with futuristic events. It has to do with I'm speaking to you under inspiration. Does that make sense? And you are, as a believer, you realize that what you're hearing is at a higher level than tongues. You see, this is going to sound bad. A church thinks, oh, we really had church. Our pastor gave a message in tongues and someone interpreted. Well, when you get to a higher level of faith, we won't have to have messages in tongues, which is where I like to operate. But the pastor will be plugged into the head and he's speaking the divine oracles of God, and we are bypassing the need for tongue and interpretation because he is plugged into where he can prophesy to the church, and the people are spiritual enough, they understand, hey, that ain't Joe or that ain't Sally. What we're hearing is right out of the throne room.
Amen.
Now that's what this is talking about. And so therefore, I know in my infantile 30 years ago, filled with the Holy Ghost walk, I was like, ooh, we spoke in tongues and we jumped and we shouted. You'll grow up. You'll finally grow up and you'll realize that's such a small portion. Move on into God and quit worshiping the gifts and get serious about the giver. And then this stuff, it begins to flow out of you naturally and you don't act like some strange person. It's just common. And I don't mean to make it common, but am I making any sense out there? Or should I speak in tongues? I couldn't if I wanted to. It says God gives the utterance. All right, so here we go. So he that prophesies speaks to men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. I wish that you all spake with tongues. So we're not talking against tongues. Let's read what he just said. I wish that you all did this. I wish you all could give a message. But rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. We're not talking about infilling of the Holy Ghost, are we? Are we talking about infilling of the Holy Ghost here? But you can see how if I pulled a couple of scriptures out of spiritual gifts and I've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues, I can make this something that's only for certain people and eradicate my need to ever need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what happens when you get your Bible out of order. Let's go on. And so, I'll promise you, you could take a teacher that's never been filled with the Holy Ghost and have them teach this lesson, and you're going to get two completely different ideas on it. I've operated in this. I'm teaching you how this operates. Okay? Let's go on. Verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what will it profit you except I... speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. So here, let me move on and have another point. So do you think for a moment that they were writing to Paul and said, Paul, we've got a problem. Johnny Wilburn, our problem is we've got so many people being filled with the Holy Ghost or speaking in tongues all during the service. No. Man, we'll stop every service for people to get filled with the Holy Ghost all day long. That's the job of the church. No, what they were writing about is everybody came that was already filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues and giving messages in tongues. Different type of tongues altogether, but you don't understand that if you've not operated in it. This is why they're writing him. All right. He says, therefore, when you speak in tongues, what's it going to profit you guys except you speak by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? In other words, if it's for edifying the church, if one can interpret it, if it's a divine prophecy, if it's a divine gifting for that moment, for that service, and even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? He's teaching what I just said. He's saying, what good is it going to do if I come in here and I turn around and I blow the trumpet and I give an uncertain sound? Verse 8. You won't know to prepare yourself for battle because I'm blowing a sound you haven't been trained to understand and discern. Remember, back then their loud system speakers didn't work as well, so they had to use trumpet. And so on the trump, they had certain sounds to call to battle, certain sounds to call the camp to order. And he's saying, but if you're blowing a sound they don't understand, what good? You're confusing them. And this is what he was writing to the church at Corinth about. Why are you breeding confusion when we're trying to reach the masses, guests are coming in, and everybody's praying in their unknown tongue? So if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? So likewise, except you utter by tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. Now, he's not doing away with tongues. He says, I wish that you all were speaking in them. Therefore, it may be so, many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be barbarian unto me. Let's go on and see what he's talking about. So even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. We love it that you got your little blessing during service. Keep that up. But why don't you get it at home? And when you come to church, be spiritual enough that you're interceding for the church that they might be edified. Or that we might have a prophecy or a miracle or a this. All right. Wherefore, let him that speak in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So, once again, we're not on infilling of the Holy Spirit. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. So, Paul is saying, I pray in the spirit. I got no idea what I'm praying. And we say, well, that's insanity. No, you don't understand. That's the Spirit of God in you making intercession for you. Because He knows what's in your future. And a lot of times when we pray amiss because we ask selfishly. But the same God that saved us while we were yet sinners is inside of us. And just like He spoke the heaven and the earth into existence, as He's speaking, He's realigning things in our life. And He's setting things in order. And I don't understand what He's doing. But whenever I sing in my voice, I understand what I'm saying. I understand what I'm saying right now. But if the Lord would begin to speak in another tongue through me, I don't know what I'm saying, except I interpret.
Amen.
And right now, would you rather listen to me speak in tongues? I couldn't if I wanted to. It's the Spirit. For the next 10 minutes, what good would it do? See my tie, ride my tie, high my tie. I'm making up words. That would really bless you, wouldn't it? No. You'd say, he's crazy. But if it was God doing it through me, I would be receiving personal edification, but I would really be wasting the Lord's time for the body.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
Except it's a message. Now here's what's amazing for those of you that have ever been in a service where a message in tongues goes forth. Even the babies will usually quit crying. Usually there's a lull comes on the whole congregation because we are the body. Whew! All of a sudden everything comes down and that spirit of unction comes through someone and we know it's a spirit of tongues and it's very forceful and loud. And it's crazy because people in the back hear it just like people in the front, wherever they're at in the building. All of a sudden, the whole crowd, it just goes, whoof. Now, you can't orchestrate that. It's a supernatural move of God. All right. But let the spirit of the prophets be subject unto the prophets. We may not get to that. All right. Where was I? Okay. Even though you're zealous of spiritual gifts... Verse 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with understanding. Verse 16, else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what you say? In other words, he's saying, if you're saying a blessing, or you're glorifying God, but you're saying, see my tie, buy my tie, ride a Yamaha, sell a Yamaha, Suzuki, whatever, I'm just acting like. He said, he doesn't even know when to say amen because he doesn't know if you're worshiping God or the devil. He's just trying to point out, once again, the church of Corinth had a problem we don't have. Everybody was so zealous of spiritual gifts that service had become a wild ride. Okay, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other's not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. He's not against tongues. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it's written, with men of other tongues and lips I will speak to this people. Wherefore tongues are for a sign to not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Now, here is where it gets very, very intriguing, because unless you have a lot of understanding... Wherefore tongues are for a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serves not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Now, I'm going to give you my opinion on this portion of Scripture. On this portion of Scripture, who's he writing to? The church. And in the church, do we have people with different levels of faith? And in this local assembly, do we have people that are baptized in the Holy Ghost and people that aren't baptized in the Holy Ghost? Do we have people that are spiritual and people that aren't spiritual? Every church does. So the answer is yes to all those. So here's what he's saying. But a lesser faith is when this hush goes forward and suddenly a message is given. And when you're where the Lord speaks through someone forcefully, the lesser faith person says, "Wow, I don't know what that was." They're in the house, but they're not at that level of faith yet. But yet, the teacher can be speaking the divine oracles of God straight out of the Word of God from the throne room of God, and that person that's not born again and has lesser faith doesn't even have the discernment to understand they're hearing straight from the throne room. That's my interpretation, and you'll have to chew on that for a while. And I'll tell you, let's go on. We'll see why I say that. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and you all speak with tongues, and there comes in, now we're dealing with an unbeliever, and there comes in those that are unlearned. He's changed subjects on us now. Now we're dealing with people that are coming into the church that have no idea of church function, and they are not believers in Yeshua, which certainly means they haven't been born again. If therefore the whole church come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there comes in those that are unlearned and unbelievers, they're going to say, "These people are nuts. Stay away from them." I've been one of those. My wife drug me to that church, and I'm like out in the parking lot smoking my cigarettes thinking, that's the most ungodly thing I can imagine. Of course, I didn't ever go to church, but those people in the church were ungodly. They were acting weird. All right. They're crazy in there. Stay away. Okay. But if all prophesy, now watch. But if all prophesy, see, when you read this portion of Scripture, the portion I just explained and said, this is my opinion, and then you get to this portion of Scripture where he changes about the coming in from the outside that doesn't believe, it seems like he's contradicting himself unless you understand what I believe the interpretation is, that he's speaking first to the group of different levels of faith in the church, and now he's talking about the unbeliever that comes to visit the church. Does that make sense? Because folks, we got a lot of saved people that aren't baptized in the Holy Ghost. We got a lot of Christians that need more of God. We got a lot of Christians that aren't operating at their fullest capacity in the spirit realm. Would you agree with that? But that's still a whole different animal than an unbeliever coming in. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, so now we're dealing with, listen, so here now he's going to change it 100%, 180 degrees. If therefore the whole church comes, speaks with tongues, and there comes in those that are unlearned and an unbeliever, will they not say they're crazy? But if you prophesy and there comes in one that believes not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, so falling down on his face he will worship God and report that God in you is of truth. If I speak under inspiration through the giftings of the Spirit, through a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge in English that he can understand and reveal to him his heart, he'll say God's with me. But I can come in there and speak in other tongues. That doesn't impress non-believers. They think you're nuts. Do I have a witness? Okay. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a song, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speaks in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most three. So you'll see this. There are times in our church services that there's a lull in the service. Someone will speak in an unknown tongue. We'll wait. No interpretation comes forth. Someone will speak in an unknown tongue again. We'll wait. No interpretation comes forth. And the third time, I go on with my sermon. Why? Because I'm following biblical set in order. Don't hang around and wait all day long. If you've spoken once and someone's spoken again, then it's a strong message, but you don't have an interpretation, or maybe it is just a spiritual time where people are being edified. Go on with the service. There's setting in order. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. So, and that's what this is talking about. We've waited, we've waited, we've waited. Now there's no interpreter. Put a muffle on it. We know you're under inspiration, but we're going on the way that the Bible tells us to set the church in order. Verse 39. Wherefore, brother, covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm done. People go to this scripture to say tongues have been done away with, and this is it. Love never fails. Where there be prophecies, they will fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there should be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But that which is perfect comes, and that which is in part will be done away with. And so all this is talking about is when the kingdom of God comes to earth, we will no longer have to have what? Prophecy. We will no longer have to have knowledge. We will no longer have to have what? We're still going to have love. But these spiritual gifts will be done away with, because now we will all be spiritual inhabitants of the kingdom of God. But that which is perfect has not come. So these things have not been done away with. I hope lesson 9 has added some, not confusion, but some clarity on this subject. Next week we'll be into a different topic. God richly bless you. If you could, hurry next door to our service.